1776 today.
Big hour on America tonight. The voice you're listening to is that of Hey, the lady, that's me. In case you were thinking we were going to be talking about Space Invaders or any of that other kind of stuff, that's that uber famous guy down the dial. But if you clicked into us, I'm glad you found us. If you've never heard the show, we talk about everything and anything, sometimes for laughs and sometimes on a much more serious note, and tend to get up on the soapbox. And you're always welcome to join the conversation. In fact, before we even give you the conversation, I'm going to give you the number, 800-259-5791. And anything that we serve up, you want to jump on, feel free to do that. Or maybe something else is on your mind. That's cool. It's all about the conversation from coast to coast and all those important spots in between as well. Speaking of important, right from the get-go, the president is praising Iraqi security forces for protecting that nation on a day that really could have been big on attacks. Even though insurgents did manage to kill 36 people, you know, you forget about this, but Iraq had the vote. They had another vote, a big important vote. So the polls closed, and there were the people killed that I mentioned, but it could have been a lot worse. So does that mean when you have this election, and of course we're helping out and trying to help protect the people, but does this mean that Iraq, as so many of our troops have been pulled out, does this signify a win for the United States? The conclusion of the vote doesn't really show that anything is certain. Politically, that's kind of up in the air. And it could probably be days until some results come in. That's the way it is with the Iraqi politics. So, and it could take a little bit longer even as far as forming a government. But the Sunnis and the Shiites were united, at least in the voting, and they repelled the violence and went to vote, didn't worry about it, came out of the polling booths. They were waving those fingers dipped in purple ink. Remember that image that we saw for the very first voting that ever happened? And they looked to be, and I happened to see a lot of the pictures, they looked to be happy and smiling. And, you know, the Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, has gained popularity as violence across that country has really quieted down somewhat. And he's on the ballot, of course. Will he be elected? It's looking like there is a good chance of that, but it's not definite. But what a great thing to see that democracy, rarefied democracy in the Middle East, let's face it. And the last vote was back in December of 2005, but this time the American military presence isn't as prominent as it was in 2005. You remember that was huge before. So now it was a limited, very limited amount. I think this is a good thing. There were some rockets and mortars and explosive-filled plastic bottles hidden under trash to frighten the people that were voting who were on their way to the polls, but still people managed to get there, and as I mentioned, 36 people, and this was in Baghdad, were killed. But other than that, you could see that there was some unity. At least I think that's what you pull out of this, that there was some unity in Iraq, and I think that's a very good thing for the lives of the Americans and others that were lost in fighting in Iraq. And to see this come around full circle, I think it's a reason, honestly, to be pretty hopeful. Would we see the same situation in Afghanistan? Don't hold your breath with what's happening with the Taliban. There have been some things to look at as possible signals that more Taliban folks in the upper echelons of that society have gone down, but still there's a lot of work in Afghanistan to be done nonetheless. In the meantime, speaking of war and war situations and the war on terror, the Gitmo situation hangs in the balance. and hangs over the White House. Because you got guys like Senator Lindsey Graham, who says he's going to do everything he can to help convince Republicans to support closing Guantanamo Bay. Isn't that said doesn't fit with Lindsey Graham? Because he was on the opposite side of this. But he was actually on the Sunday show saying that he would help the White House in that way and help close Gitmo if the president reverses course and sends Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his co-conspirators to military tribunals. And he was willing to make that compromise if the president was willing to step back on that. You know, he's one of the key people that's been talking about Guantanamo and what the strategy ultimately should be there. And more of what Graham and several others, like Joe Lieberman, Senator Joe Lieberman, and several other Republicans and Democrats are saying is, you cannot go through with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and this whole idea of the civilian court, that it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. And I love what Graham said. It's worth quoting him. He was on, it was Face the Nation, I think, and he said, I don't believe Khalid Sheikh Mohammed robbed a liquor store. He's the mastermind of 9/11. If he's not an enemy combatant, who would be? And exactly, that's what I would say. Give us the definition of who a war criminal is, who an enemy combatant is. It makes no sense. And this was such a waste of breath, this whole argument over trying KSM and the four others in New York because the costs are astronomical. New York doesn't want to pay for it. The government's not going to pick up the tab for that. And what's going to have to happen is they're going to have to roll back the idea of trying them on U.S. soil, I think. I think the idea of the military tribunal is a much wiser one. However, there is important pressure being applied from the leftists of the left that have supported the president, you know, part of the base, part of his base. The American Civil Liberties Union ran a giant full-page ad in the New York Times just whipping the president. I mean, slamming him. In fact, the ad said, what will it be, Mr. President? Big question mark. And it's a bold face, you know, like that. It says, change or more of the same. And in the middle of the words are four photos that show Obama's face changing into the image of George Bush, the former president. Wow. So you have to imagine that knocks them off their feet. Obama is getting kicked in all directions. There is no middle. And especially by the far left because of some of the things that were said on the campaign trail. Hey, we've just scratched the surface here, but having said that, what do you think? Would it be a complete black eye for the president if he were to go back and go with the military tribunals? And because it is a political time bomb for him, will that be enough to make the president and Eric Holder try to stand their ground and have those trials in New York City? 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Also, we're going to talk about what happened at the Oscars. Yeah, we're going to lighten this show up here. Some history was made. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later this hour on America Tonight.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com. Or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Is it safe to breathe anymore? Crowded public places, global pandemics, and news reports of potential new strains of bacteria and viruses make you wonder, what if there was a germ-killing nasal spray that acted almost like hand sanitizer for your nose? There is. It's called Sinofresh Homeopathic Nasal Spray, and it's a proven germ killer. Sinofresh is a revolutionary doctor-recommended nasal spray that kills a broad spectrum of viruses, bacteria, molds, and fungi on contact in your nose. Sinofresh causes no drug interactions, no loss of smell, no rebound congestion, contains no alcohol, is non-habit forming, and is safe for daily use. Sinofresh must be a part of your family survival plan. Go to GCNlive.com now and click on the Sinofresh banner. The first 1,000 customers to click on the Sinofresh banner and purchase Sinofresh antiseptic nasal spray are instantly registered to win a free 24-bottle case. Go to GCNlive.com and click on Sinofresh. Breathe free. Breathe safe. Use Sinofresh. It works.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning.
All right, go down the same path of ain't that a kick in the head. Besides the nightmare of trying to figure out what to do with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed now that the cat is out of the bag, so to speak, since the attorney general said, oh, yeah, we're going to have this in New York. And initially all the New York politicians were on board. But now, after much thought and realizing what a nightmare it would be and the cost of it, they've gone in a different direction, saying, no way, we don't want to have this trial held here. The administration has to figure out what they want to do. So Gitmo's one thing, and follow the bouncing ball along with me, if you will. The other thing that, and Gitmo affects us too, by the way. Of course it affects us because of the money that's being spent, and will it, won't it close? How do you describe an enemy combatant as Americans? What's an enemy combatant? Should these guys be tried in civilian trials? And there are lots of different schools of thought on this one. I think you pretty much know where I stand on that. I believe that Senator Graham's 100% right, and his way of portraying it was excellent. He was absolutely right on the money. They didn't knock over a liquor store. They didn't shoot somebody. I mean, they more than shot somebody. Innocent people, we don't have to go down that road. You know exactly what happened on 9/11. And that pretty much is the definition of an enemy combatant or a war criminal, however you want to term, especially Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four other guys. So we move from that to the other slippery slope for the White House, and specifically for the president. And that is, health care reform and where are we going with health care reform. And I think the thing that's interesting is, and I would have said this too, just like the Republicans, we'll call it the Republicans had their day when they had the majority, right? So now you fast forward and the Democrats, boom, after the Bush, 8 years of Bush, now we're going to do it differently. It's all about change and hope, and here we are, and we got the majority. What is going on? What is going on with the Democrats? There doesn't seem to be enough unity, and agendas all over the place. So when you have something like the president wanting to push through health care, boy, he didn't get enough people, anyway, to jump on those coattails. And I think, I happen to see this, former Majority Leader Tom DeLay was on a Sunday show, and boy, I think just like Graham in a different way, the former Majority Leader really nailed it. Here's what he said, the biggest problem seems to be for the Obama administration.
I think what they're doing wrong is because of arrogance. They have huge majorities. We never had more than a 17-vote majority. We got down to a 5-vote majority at one time. Never did we have 60 votes in the Senate. And you would think you could pass anything and pass it quickly with those kinds of majorities. Why can't they? Mm-hmm. It's because they're going back in rooms and then telling the members, take it or leave it. You can't do that. It's obvious. I invented something called grill the vote because we would get to an issue early on before a bill was even introduced, and we would work through the regular process, and we knew which members were having problems, and we'd take care of those problems so that by the time it got to the floor, they wanted to vote for it because they had ownership of it. Nancy Pelosi writes the bill, hands it to the chairman, says, get it out of committee in an hour, and we're going to the floor, we're going to debate it in an hour, and I'll break arms if you vote against me. That will come to haunt you and bring you down.
All right, so I think he did. I think he nailed it there, and he's talking about what they had to deal with at times, and how can you have this overwhelming majority? You know, the comedian Bill Maher, he has a show, it's politically incorrect, that he does on HBO. And if you watch that show, it's interesting, and the debate's interesting. And he has got a smattering of, he'll have a conservative, he'll have some liberals, or, you know, whatever. But they're talking about, they're jawing about whatever the topics are of the day, just like the Sunday shows do. And on the show, they've talked about this over and over again. Like, what is with the Democrats? How is it that they can have the majority and not get anything passed? And yet now they've got to be forced to go to this reconciliation, or AKA nuclear option, meaning if we've got 51, poof, that's enough, we're going through with it. But now there's concern over going to have 51, going to have enough even in the House. So the next couple of weeks, if for no other reason, is going to be very interesting to watch to see which way the wind blows on health care. And while all this is happening, and it affects every single one of us, you know, the bottom line is, besides health care, it's the job situation that has so many people in the country scared to death. And I don't know where the numbers are not being manipulated correctly. Now, the jobs report that came out on Friday was much more positive than it has been in a very long time. But at the same time, while there's this furious push to get some kind of health care bill passed, the other thing is jobs. The idea that there would be this creation of jobs, where has all that gone? And people care most about what affects their family. What affects their family? You got to feed your family. You got to have health care for the kids. You don't want your own kids to be struggling as they're raising your grandchildren and are stuck, and they find themselves stuck for all kinds of different reasons job-wise. So it's a vicious web that is cycling around bit by strand by strand is a better way to say it. And he's getting caught in this awful spider web that this inaction, I think, is going to cost this administration. I've said it before. Somebody asked me, well, how do you think Obama's doing in this year and change? And they were telling me, they were going back and forth and telling me, well, you know, it hasn't been that long. And that's true. It hasn't been that long. But everything that was laid out, not one success in any of them, whether it's health care or jobs or Gitmo or whatever it is, and it seems to me that they're trying to play both ends to the middle. So I would say the word that I would use is ineffective. He's just ineffective at this point to me as a leader. Jeff is listening to us in St. Louis. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What's on your agenda?
Well, one thing, what would get you on 5 days a week, 5 nights a week in St. Louis?
Call your program director.
Yeah, we need someone to compete with that other network.
There you go.
But anyway, my comment is on the health care reform.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I see it. If we are mandated to have health care reform, mm-hmm. then we should be mandated to buy a firearm.
There you go. Okay, so
everyone,
you're going to be mandated for that, then you mandate to have
everyone,
the firearm.
Everyone 21 and old, every American 21 and over that can pass the background checks and all that stuff, but
mm-hmm.
it should be under national security, and every American, like I described, should be required to purchase a firearm.
All right, so tit for tat then, brother.
I'm sure the left would like that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The whole deal with the firearm issues is getting pretty interesting because the Supreme Court is going to lift that ban, that Chicago ban. I don't think there's any doubt about that. That's after 28 years. And the problem is you have a hodgepodge of different gun laws across the board, depending on what state it is. And I agree with you. I know the point you're trying to make, but I agree with you. In the case of firearms, it's a Second Amendment right.
Yeah.
So it's a Second Amendment right. As long as everybody goes through the background checks and goes through the system, you know, who cares? Because if we do it that way, there'd be less problems. And for people who think that if there's too many guns out there, it'll be a danger to society, and we'll have vigilanteism and people shooting
people.
We're seeing what's
happening in London when the guns are banned. The gun violence is going up.
That's right. And exactly. Great point. I'm so glad you took the words right out of my mouth.
And one thing on the Oscars real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I guess no matter how left the movie is, not even a sci-fi movie left as Avatar can get a Best Picture.
Yeah, but Avatar didn't. Avatar actually came up to be the big loser, really, in all of this. It was Hurt Locker that cleared the floor. They won a couple of Oscars, but yeah, it's interesting what the Academy voted for this time around. In fact, we're going to talk about that next.
You just might be only a few meals away from anarchy. Look at the recent world events and even the economic crisis. The time to prepare yourself and your family is now.
Now.
For 1 week only, Ready Made Resources offers all GCN listeners 25% off on all Mountain House case lots.
And that includes free shipping.
Go to readymaderesources.com to see the variety of our quality Mountain House foods in a wide selection for every taste. Mountain House foods have a 25-year shelf life and are easy to prepare. Just add water for great tasting snacks or meals.
Yes, there is a catch.
This 25% off of case lots only lasts through March 15th. Hurry, go to readymaderesources.com or call toll free 1-800-627-3809 and mention GCN to get 25% off per case of Mountain House Foods with free shipping. That's 800-627-3809 or go to readymaderesources.com. Hurry, sale ends March 15th.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A silver.com, or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
Hounded by debt collectors with phone calls and letters? Thinking of calling a debt relief company? Don't! Greedy lawyers and debt companies charge thousands. Why pay when you can get their solution absolutely free with New York Times best-selling author Herb Kay's number one debt secret, the how-to on stopping the calls without paying the debt companies. Yes, free for a very limited time. Here's Herb Kay.
Don't get ripped off by credit repair companies when I can give you the information you need to do it yourself for free.
Herb Kay was right. His free information helped me stop the calls and settle my debt.
What have you got to lose? Stop the calls now, get out of debt, and have more money. Get Herb Kay's number one debt secret absolutely free now. Call 888-352-7726. That's 888-352-7726. 888-352-7726.
From the ancient lost book of Tobias, we read,
"Then the angel said to him, take out the entrails of the fish and lay up his heart and his gall and his liver for thee, for these are necessary for useful medicines."
This passage tells how livers of fish were important to man's health then and are now. Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality sacred food oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, with fermentation. Cold fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture Products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. For more information and a 20% discount off of first orders, visit greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code RADIO at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good through March 31st. Or call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818. Call Green Pasture Products today.
Delight me, and I know you're speaking of me. Fascinating thing, get beside me, I want you to love me.
All right, I promise we're going to jump to the Oscars, and Jeff tried to actually tip us up there ahead that we were going to jump to that, and we will. In a second, talking about Avatar not getting Best Picture or Best Director, instead that went to The Hurt Locker, but we'll do that in a second here. First, a big quake shaking eastern Turkey, 11 people dead. Boy, every single week there's a quake somewhere. You know, hey, it's Mother Nature, it's shifting of the earth, I get it. But this was a pretty strong quake, nothing like Chile or what's happened in Haiti, but magnitude of 6 slams into Turkey, kills 11 people at least. Small village is the one that is where the people were from, knocked down houses and whatnot, and, you know, they got rescue teams trying to dig under some of the places that collapsed to make sure that they've gotten everybody. And it happened at 4:30 in the morning, and it was followed by an aftershock somewhere in the fours. The village, the area, is about 340 miles east of Ankara, which is the capital. Earthquakes, not completely unusual in Turkey, because they're on a particular fault that sometimes gets a lot of action. And back in the, I want to say the late 90s, they had a bunch of quakes that slammed into Turkey. And remember, there's like 18,000 or more people that were killed. And in Chile, you know, the sad thing that's happened there is they've had all that looting last week. We were talking about that. People that are trying to stay in these houses that were half collapsed. It was ridiculous. The Chilean president, Michelle Bachelet, was, you know, frantic trying to get the troops to as many people as possible. And they actually did a smart thing. They declared this amnesty deal because you had people that were taking flat screen TVs and refrigerators and all kinds of stuff. I mean, just looting, ridiculous amounts of looting. So what the police did, they went through the neighborhoods and near Concepcion, which is where the quake hit, and said, listen, there's an amnesty thing going on with bullhorns are going up and down the street to tell everybody that, you know, all is forgiven, just bring the stuff back. So that's what's happened. There was a police gymnasium now full of things that they were able to recover, and probably in the neighborhood of, they're saying, $2 million worth of whatever, televisions, dressers, mattresses, I mean, just about anything that you can imagine, because the looting was killing the rescue and recovery efforts by distracting the firefighters and the cops who were worried about watching people walk down the street with other people's stuff or just going into stores. So the damage was the damage done was pretty nasty, especially when it's such a poor excuse. You had people, like I mentioned, that were sleeping half in shelter and half out of shelter and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the good news is that obviously a lot of the looters knew that this amnesty thing was happening and they took it back. They did a poll over the weekend that suggests 85% of Chileans want the looters prosecuted. That's how upset other people were, other Chileans were. And the view is, after everything that we've done for other countries, to let everybody see us as the world's greatest thieves and looters is not a good thing. So they're giving tips to officers for some of the stuff that was stolen that wasn't taken back with this amnesty deal, whether it was sofas or toys or copy machines or, you know, whatever. And some people are slamming the female president that I mentioned, Michelle Bachelet, for failing to stop the looting before it spread like wildfire all over the disaster area. But I don't know that there was much she could have done. It was a smash and grab deal. I mean, people are in the dark. They see that the stores are there. They, you know, go in and they're taking whatever they feel like taking. So did the government respond too late? Were they inefficient? Did they not reestablish some kind of order in this chaos? And, you know, did she not want to send soldiers into the streets? They ended up having to send lots of soldiers into the streets. But they did wait 33 hours or so before they declared a state of catastrophe and put the military in charge of the response. So that didn't happen right away. And, you know, it was bad. 8.8 earthquake, you know, the magnitude. And then the tsunami, 450 people, they believe, were killed by the tsunami. So eventually all was deployed, but it is eerily reminiscent of the complaints, the response time complaints of what happened in New Orleans, and that it was laughable. I mean, some of the people are saying the response by the government was almost laughable, the 33 hours. Couldn't they have gotten there sooner? And would it have made a big difference? It's probably going to be about a $30 billion price tag. I know I've talked about that before. Chile has, I don't know, I mean, they're the king of copper in that region. And they've saved a bunch of money, I'm sure, with copper. But they're going to, with their budget, it's a $42 billion budget, somewhere in that neighborhood. And they've got a national, over the weekend they had a national telethon. And they collected $58 million, and it was twice what they were hoping for, so I guess that's the good news there. But does this president save face? And, you know, the people in Chile not happy with the response and certainly not happy with being seen as how they feel on the world stage as a bunch of looters and ripping off from their fellow man and in a time of catastrophe. Let's talk about the census for a second. Here we are in March, and you're starting to see commercials about the census. Be counted. Stand up and be counted so your region gets what it deserves or whatever the census spots are in your particular area. And I don't know. I haven't gotten a census thing yet. I don't know if any of you have gotten it. I think it's still a week or two too early. But, you know, they do this every decade. And to send out the forms and to let people know they need to fill it out, they're spending a ton of money, they being the government, a ton of money, to tell you to please, please fill these out. If you don't return the questionnaire, they say they might knock on your door. The census taker will sometime between April and July. Because, of course, our Constitution, did you realize that, requires that the government count everyone living in the U.S. every 10 years. What's interesting is that Congress uses the count to distribute about $400 billion in money each year. Yeah, $400 billion in federal funds to state and local government. So, yeah, figure the 10-year period, you're talking schools, roads, maybe job training centers. So that's pretty big for the particular area you might be living in, right? And the 2010 census has 10 questions, and it takes about however many minutes it'll take you to fill out the 10 questions. Do you think they have the question, are you a citizen of the United States? They have 14 languages, ads put out in 14 different languages on radio, television, and other places, just try to reach as many people as possible. And then you have these, I don't know what they call them, this road tour thing, 13 different cars or whatever that are traveling around the country and speaking at county fairs and community events and all that sort of stuff. Wonder how many people won't fill out their census. How many people will say, you know, I don't want to fill out the census and just ignore it. They don't want any of their information out there. The thing about that is, and I don't know if people realize this either, but you can be fined if you don't answer the census. If you don't answer the census, that little questionnaire that comes in your mailbox, you can be fined up to $5,000. They've never done it, however. But if, you know, if enough people don't fill it out, would there be this press to start forcing people to fill it out and go for the gusto and threaten those fines? Can you imagine not, because you didn't fill out a questionnaire for the Census Bureau, if you didn't do that, getting a big fat bill for however much they decided to fine you for? I guess in 2000, they say, about 72% filled out the questionnaire. You know, this is terrible to say, but I'm thinking I don't remember filling out a census. Matt, have you ever filled out a census? Have you ever filled out a questionnaire?
Not to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge.
No.
Well, 10 years, you would have been on your own 10 years ago. So I don't know that I have either, now that I think about it. I've moved so much that they probably wherever it was I was moving, and that's probably what it was. I think I had just moved. I don't remember. Maybe I did. I don't remember filling out a census. Does anyone out there remember filling out the census? Do you always fill out your census? 800-259-5791. We'll meet you on the flip side.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic. No negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now, 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Wherever you're listening to us, in whatever nook and cranny, wherever you hang the shingle. The show's called America Tonight. We zig and zag all over the place. We like to call it water cooler buzz, baby. So somehow I drifted off into this whole census thing because in the next week they're going to, I keep saying there, the government is going to send you the census in the mail, and it's 10 questions, and I'm wondering how many people have filled out a census. You remember filling it out last time a decade ago. And I don't know, just off the top of my head, I was thinking, can you imagine getting the fine if they really implemented that? But I don't know that there's going to be a problem with that. I mean, listen, they know where you are anyway. They found you with the census. So I don't think that the questions are going to be too personal. But who knows? But what is personal is what's happening with healthcare. And in the healthcare debate, as that rages on, feel free to throw in your 2 cents over the final ending. What would give you that happy ending on healthcare? 800-259-5000. $57.91. My happy ending would be to just scrap it, punt it, put hard, serious timelines on it, talk to more doctors, get more people involved in the conversation. Don't let it, go on and on and on. Include the pre-existing condition, crack down on the insurance practices, and call it a day. Izzy in Missouri, how are you?
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Good.
Okay. So many topics, so little time.
Go for it.
Real quick. Number one, on the census, the only question you are legally compelled to answer is how many people reside in your household. It is a head count. It is not a financial count or any other count. And I only answer number one, how many people reside in my household, period. Everything else is superfluous crap.
I love that. It's crap. I love it. So just the number one question, how many, and you're right, that's all it is. It's a head count.
It's a head count. It doesn't matter. I mean, how many people have lived in your home since 1980? That's 20 years ago.
Right.
Hello.
Exactly.
So number one, people, number one, answer number one, because that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Okay. Two, health care. Has anybody heard of the Honest Services Act by any chance, which also aligns with the RICO Act of 1970, that if you use bribery as a public official, and it also includes private sector too, I might add, that you are guilty of bribery? What do you call it when a president offers an appellate judgeship to the brother of a Democrat congressman for a vote yes? Last time I looked, that's bribe. Is it not?
I'm right there with you. I mean, I think it was a big blunder, but it's easy to cover up, and that's exactly what's happening.
Oh, I don't think it's easy to cover up. My God, it's all out there in the media. I mean, everybody has heard it.
Oh, no. I know, but it's easy to cover up as, oh, that's not what happened here. That's what I'm saying. They can go back on the defense, and that's what's going on. But I agree with you flat out. That's exactly what it is.
They also offered an EPA position.
Yeah.
I mean, the bribes go on. And the last time I looked, what's going on right now is not only a violation, which is one of the most convoluted laws I've ever read, is the Honest Services Act, but also the RICO Act. And I don't care if people are Democrats, that's okay. Be a Democrat. But understand that you have a Democrat president that is committing actual bribery. I mean, it's out there. You just cannot get around it.
Hey, I agree with you, but again, the White House, attack dogs have trying to find a way to get around it. It's all being brushed off as it's just coincidence, and this has nothing to do with that. I flat out agree with you. It's obvious what it is. It's just like what's happened in currying favor for the bill. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, and that's what that is. It's the same thing. Yes.
Well, then the other side needs to get on the stick and start looking this up, because you really have to wade through a lot of the extraneous rhetoric and all the laws written, because they make them so complicated that an average person gets tired after the first paragraph when you start reading this stuff. But the last thing I wanted to comment on, because I get so irritated on the military tribunals.
Yeah.
The Military Commissions Act of 2006 defines unlawful enemy combatant versus lawful enemy combatant. But we also get back into the Geneva Convention. I mean, you have to go back and forth, back and forth.
Right, right.
Why would we write a law that would be so clear and simple? We can't do that. So the Al-Qaeda members, those are all unlawful enemy combatants. They are not entitled to prisoner of war status. They are not entitled to Geneva Convention status. Sorry, I have a cold. They are entitled to humane treatment, period. But they are unlawful combatants, therefore they are eligible to be tried under military tribunals. That is where they should be tried. Not in a civilian court, because their acts do not involve any civil statute. They involve statutes that are outside the civilian purview. And I don't think that the average person in Congress that is wanting civilian trials is graspiness, yet they all profess to be attorneys, or a large portion of them. And I'm like, even I know this, but I spent 21 years in the military, and I have sat on a court-martial, which is different than a military tribunal, but nonetheless, still you see the mechanisms at work.
So right.
We need to get on with military tribunals, try these people, quit spending a fortune. You convict them or not convict them. Either way, the sentence is the same. One good bullet, and we're into that discussion. I get so tired of this argument that they should be tried in a civilian court. They should not be.
I agree. I mean, absolutely. This is what I said. It goes right back. Why are we wasting our breath on this? Any lawyer worth his salt who knows anything about, quotes, terrorism or terrorism law or any of this stuff, and you gave us the definition, absolutely, it's quite obvious what it is, but it goes back to that whole politicizing of, you know, again, what the world sees as evil with Gitmo, and why can't they be tried and given their day in court and all this other sort of stuff? But they shouldn't be given their day in court because, as you said, it's not civil that we're talking about. It's not a civil court matter.
No,
they shouldn't have the same rights as we have. They're not American citizens.
No, and the law clearly defines the difference of aliens and co-belligerents versus civilians.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why it's so difficult for some of our members of Congress to understand this, or even the president to understand. I mean, he does profess to be an attorney also. What part of this have you failed to understand? That these are not legal citizens, they are aliens and co-belligerents. Because Al-Qaeda is defined, or the Taliban is defined, as a co-belligerent. These are not uniformed people, so they are not lawful enemy combatants. They're not part of a military organization or militia. And I'm just, you know, America, and I don't care what the rest of the world thinks. They can go pound sand. This is the United States of America.
I agree. I love it. We're ending on that note.
Okay.
That's a great, I love that, Izzy. Thanks. They can go pound sand. Absolutely. But the problem is there are a lot of people that are concerned about how we are portrayed. Oh, it was Bush's fault, and everybody hated Bush on foreign soil, and except for Tony Blair in his days in office as the prime minister in England. And, you know, I mean, these are old arguments that we could open up, but I think all of you are very well aware of what's happening there. She's 100% right, but it's the game of politics. And that's the dance that they do out of D.C., and that's exactly what most of that conversation was about. I don't get it either. I don't understand why we've wasted so much time on the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed deal and the four others. That's quite clear what that is. And if you want due process and you want the military tribunals, then that's the due process, then just go and do it. Boom, 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 boom. It's not that difficult. It was already being done. You know, come on. It's the most appropriate place to try terror suspects, too, by the way, right? Just try them at Gitmo. A civilian court? I mean, really, a fair trial, a civilian court for those guys? I don't think so. Uh-uh. Send me your thoughts, AmericaTonight.net.
Well, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
If I'm not back in 5 minutes, just wait longer.